This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. It's time once again for an episode of Those Ruffled Feathers, brought to you by our friends at Two Birds on a Bat, and as always, coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Don't forget, pre or post game, Patio's is the place to meet. I know a lot of people like to meet at Stan Musial, but before you meet at Stan Musial, either before or later on, make sure you stop by Patio's and have a drink, as that is the original place for Cardinal fans everywhere. Also want to send a big shout out to our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. That's the name you know and trust. InnovativeCompanies.com, home of the construction team, heating and cooling team, and the electric team that you can trust to take care of any job. No job's too big or too small for these guys. In the end, you want somebody that you can trust to get the job done, get it done on time, and get it done within budget. And if the guy shakes your hand and looks you in the eye, it's getting done. That's my man, Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, it's you know, as we always say, it seems like it's always ruffled feathers time in St. Louis, especially, I'd like to say when the Cardinals don't win, but even when they win, fans are upset, or they're happy. Either way, the show doesn't have to just be about when fans are unhappy, but it does seem like they love to take to social media. But lots of questions right now in this offseason as we head into it. It's definitely the offseason for us because we're not playing, but I don't know if you get that feel until the World Series is over, and we're coming up on it. It's going to end one way or the other in the next couple of nights here. So, you know, in the end, I guess if I'm looking at this, some of the questions seem very realistic because I think in the end we all as Cardinal fans are just trying to improve the club. Some of them that don't seem unrealistic, I understand them only because – it seems like when things aren't good enough, and even though we made it to the Final Four, I don't know that it was good enough, you want to feel like you're changing for the better. So I understand a lot of the stuff, but there's neat things going on out there in the social media world, and we love to talk about it. And the guy that I love to talk about it with each week here on Ruffled Feathers is my good friend and yours, Ron Nuttall. What's going on, buddy?
Quite a bit, Jim. You know, it's you're right. One way or the other, the World Series is going to conclude tomorrow. You know, they're at a dome stadium. That's the advantage of that. So game six tonight and game seven tomorrow. And you're right. I know it sounds counterintuitive that this is, for me personally, it's one of the more exciting times of the year because this is fun to speculate. It's fun on kind of playing armchair GM. What are you going to do?
Well, it's so easy, right? You can't be wrong.
No, not at all. Not right. But yeah, things will get going here shortly. So,
well,
rev it up.
Yeah. One thing we know about the off season are teams are going to make moves. Some are going to work, some are not. You're not going to convince me anymore that some, like the majority of it really isn't some luck. Because I don't know any other way to describe it because I promise you, no matter what we say, okay, there's going to be a faction of people that like it or don't like it. Now, outside of some obvious things, like I'm sure that if I told you, hey, the Cardinals are like not fake interested, which is something that would seems like is a big part of the Cardinals offseason. Were they really interested or were they putting on a show? But let's say, for instance, that we had some information Okay, I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you to start this show off. This should get it going here in a hurry. Let's say that I told you that a legitimate little birdie told me that the Cardinals are infatuated with Mookie Betts. Like infatuated with him. And let's face it, they've been infatuated with people before. They were infatuated with Paul Goldschmidt, and it culminated into them trading for him and giving him a bunch of money. So it is realistic. And again, I think people seem to forget that we did that. And I think the reason that people forget it is I don't think Paul Goldschmidt had the type of season we were expecting. Wasn't horrible. Wasn't great, right? So people seem to forget that they traded for what had been one of the best hitters in the league for however long and then gave him, you know, $100-something million. So they're acting like we don't do anything, right? So let's say a little birdie told me that now they've turned their attention to Mookie Betts and they are willing to spend money, right? I can't find too many people out there that would say that's a bad idea, right? Even it, like, and then if it didn't work out, I don't know too many people that would go, well, I saw that coming, because he is a what we would call an elite talent, right? But some of the other things that are going on out there, as I brought up last week, I always wonder, you know, if Marcell Ozuna walks, like, what is a realistic replacement outside of the organization that would be any better than him that the Cardinals would realistically go after? And that's always been my concern. So is it take a little luck? Like, for instance, let's say they did let Marcell Ozuna walk. Let's say they signed the next quote-unquote Michael Brantley. Well, now that would be good, wouldn't it? But the problem is, was anybody sure about Michael Brantley last year?
No, the answer would be, I mean, you know, those are, I could probably point to some examples that are really close to what you're talking about when you're pointing out Michael Brantley, but that's not, I think what you're, maybe what your point is, Jim, is like, I don't know if I'd hang my hat on that.
Right, that's the problem. Like, are there any, here's the deal. I guess when it comes right down to it, outside of a few guys, do you really feel like there's any guarantees? Like right now, I promise you, the whole world thinks that Anthony Rendon and Gerrit Cole are guarantees, right? Like guaranteed. You get Anthony Rendon, 330 home runs, right? Isn't that how you feel? Well, that's kind of how I felt about Paul Goldschmidt, right?
Sure, yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, he had a record to prove it, too. I mean, it wasn't just a 1 year. He did it for several in a row.
Right, so, you know, so anyway, that's really kind of where I'm at. Like, are there any guarantees? Now, you know, people would say, well, Mike Trout seems like a guarantee. Well, sure he does. Like, you know, absolutely he does.
Well, but you can ask the Angels. They thought Albert was likely going to be a guarantee too, right? I mean,
yeah. And like I said on that whole deal, like I thought using Jim Edmonds last week was an example of, you know, not every player at 30 goes downhill. And again, I know that was a different era. And, you know, really, who knows? To me, it's when you are hurting, where are you hurting? So I don't know. Like, so again, to the point, there are no guarantees. So that being said, let's dive into it. You want to go first? You want me to go first? Because on that note, mm-hmm. I can start it right out. Because let me tell you something. I don't know if you caught last week's edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, but Mo's algorithm blew me away with who he would replace Marcell Ozuna with. Did you catch it?
Yeah, and remind who that was. It Gregorius?
Yes. And let me tell you, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I don't know if it's realistic, but I would move DeJong to third. I would play Gregorius at short and put Edmund in the outfield tomorrow. I would. I love Didi Gregorius. I think he's a good player. Like, how much would the offense change in Busch Stadium versus Yankee Stadium? I'm assuming you would have to take into account to some degree that it would. But man, he's a good player.
I would agree. You know what I like about that whole suggestion. I did listen to that last week. I like the idea of possibly moving Paul DeJong back or moving him over to third base, shortstop. Although I know shortstop was never really my position, but I know, you know, you've got to be extremely athletic and it's a demanding job. Much like, I don't know how demanding it is versus catcher's position, to be honest with you, but I know that as many innings, as many games as he played, one, he just needs rest, period. They need a capable backup at some point. If not, I really like the idea of moving him over to third base and maybe his bat plays a little bit better over there with rest. So, now as far as Gregorius, Offensively, I guess you could say he's an adequate player. Hopefully I'm not understating that. He does have what did he finish last year with? A OPS of, we're in the 700s, a WAR of about a half point on WAR. So, I mean, offensively he's average. But what you get defensively was, yeah, it is interesting. That's not a name I expected to hear Mo's algorithm throw out there last week, but it does get you thinking.
Well, for me, it's really more like, well, obviously he was coming back from, you know, a pretty serious injury.
Sure.
You know, and how much does that play into it? I mean, isn't that ultimately going to be what will probably figure into the, I'm going to take a shot in the dark here and say, isn't that ultimately what's probably going to play into the 50, 60, $70 million question, you know, for Didi Gregorius? I, you know, again, you know, where are we at on this? Because, you know, we're looking at a guy that's 30, right? Once again, right. The dreaded age of 30, right? He's 29. So, you know, and again, I know last year wasn't a great year for him, but, you know, he's a career 264 hitter. You know, I think he's a pretty good player. I like him. I mean, you know, maybe not. Maybe he won't get as much, but I think he's a good defender. I don't know. I've liked him. Like I've liked Didi for a while. Like, I don't know. I saw stuff from him a couple of years ago that made me think he was going to be better. You know, the on-base percentage reminds me a little bit of Yadi. I would think it'd be better. Like Yadi hits, I think Yadi's average is a little bit better than people think it is. But then mm-hmm. you look at his OBP and you wish Yadi, you know, was on base a little bit more, obviously. But, you know, but then again, I think that's why Yadi typically, for a guy that plays the amount, Yadi typically has a decent amount of RBIs because he's up there to drive in runs.
Yeah, well, and without looking at actual numbers in front of me on Yadi or Molina right now, just Jim, with what, and maybe it's just the times of the games that I catch, but if there's ever a situation where a runner needs moved over or somebody needs knocked in, I don't trust anybody else's bat on that team more than I trust Yadier, because he's such a good contact hitter and he knows what to do in a situation. And I'm right with you. You would think the on-base percentage on Gregorius would be a little bit better than what it is. Looks like he had a pretty good 2017 and 18. And yeah, he only played he was in the 82 games last year. So yeah, I mean, he did deal with an injury. So let's see how he bounces back. Again, I like this move for several reasons. One of them, I really do think third base is in DeJong's future. That's just my feeling.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Let's say this. I've said it 100 times over. There's no doubt in my mind. Paul DeJong has exceeded my expectations as a shortstop. Like, he played much better than I thought he would. He really did. Right. And all that being said, would he serve himself better for a guy that plays his style of game? I mean, isn't that kind of what we always said about guys like Alex Rodriguez and Cal Ripken, some of the guys that were hitting home runs? And, you know, would it take a little bit more? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to ask guys that actually played the game, you know, like I said, it would be a great question for an Alex Rodriguez or a Cal Ripken. You know, when you moved to third, did you feel like there was less taxing on your body because you didn't have to cover the range? You know, I don't know. It'd be a great question for those guys, but you know, and then, you know, now we're talking about elite athletes here, but you know, playing every day basically doesn't seem to bother Francisco Lindor, you know, I mean, just being honest. So I don't know. Like I said, you know, now we're talking about a great player, right? Like Francisco Lindor is a great player.
You know, LA might be too. The Dodgers, I mean.
Sure. So, like I said, I find the whole thing interesting. But that to me was a really interesting thing that he said. And again, I don't know what kind of contract Didi Gregorius was going to get. I mean, he strikes me as one of these guys that is going to fall prey to the, you know, the new generation of contracts for guys his age that don't have overwhelming offensive stats. Now, he's a pretty darn good shortstop, which, you know, I don't know. You know, you'd have to look across the league and see who needs what. But, you know, he's an interesting dude. You know what I mean? So, you know, he made $11 million last year. I don't know, man. It's an interesting thing. Is he a three-year, You know, is he a 3-year, 36, 40? Is he a 3-year, $45 million player? And is it worth it to solidify your defense? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. But moving on from him, then the whole reason that I thought it was interesting is because as I look at these things and you start talking about adding pieces, it all come down to a text that I saw from a guy that we both follow on Twitter. He's very active, and that's Scott at Texas Cards Fan 1. And he basically was quoting, he has a screenshot here of the stuff that the Post does typically with the commish, and they do it with Derek Gould as well. But he said, you know, the commish has a bold take. He later says that DeJong needs to hit at least 250 to play every day. So there's a couple things within here. Number one, the question started with, are Moustakas and Bumgarner in the Cards' future? And a lot of platooning in the outfield. And he basically says that he's on board with Moustakas for 2 years, and he'd like to see Bumgarner, but not at too many years. Hasn't been good for a while. So I think the Bumgarner thing, let's start there. And I'll go and then let you go. So let's start with Bumgarner. Is that a guy kind of living on his name right now?
I think there's more to him than that, Jim. He's got the fabled playoff runs in the even years that the Giants were competitive, you know, in 10, 12, and 14. You know, I think there could be something to be said for that. I think there's more to him. I think there's plenty left in the tank. How old is he anyway? So he's 30 years old right now. And I think without looking into his age, right, his name's been out there for such a long time, I think we forget that he's still a relatively young guy. Sure, there's a lot of mileage on the
arm. Is that young anymore? You know, there we go. The dreaded 30 years old.
You know, we wouldn't have said that about Woody Williams and Daryl Kyle, but we had those guys, and they were reinvented, you know, through Dave Duncan. And I think there's more left in that tank. But you know what I really like about him would just be the veteran leadership you have there, especially if Wainwright hangs it up. And I know we don't know that yet, but Madison Bumgarner has that kind of that Chris Carpenter type of mentality. And I think that carries over to the rest of the club. And I would just like to see that presence there. Now, I don't know what he's going to bounce back like. I mean, he didn't have a terrible year this year. He had a 3.9 ERA.
No. And I wanted to follow up on that, what you just said. I think the most interesting about him is, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's 30 years old. And let's face it. I mean, he fell off a dirt bike. Right, he got hit in the hand with a line drive. So these are the types of injuries he's been dealing with those 2 years before this one. I think I love the fact that you brought up the ERA, because I think most people, if you follow him like I have, I thought his ERA would have been in the fours. So the fact that it's under four was surprising to me. I think some fans, because of the name, would have thought, man, I thought he was more like a 3.1, 3.2 ERA guy. I mean, that's almost a full run. Because of the name. But you know the thing that I think the Cardinals would benefit the most that he did last year that I think would help them immensely? Look at the game started.
Yeah, almost 30.
34. Yeah, led the league. Oh, yeah. 34 games started. Healthy.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah. So, I don't know. Like, would you like to have him?
I would. I've always been a fan of his. Again, I'll go to some of the intangible things. Just his leadership, the way he competes, his mentality. I think they could use a little bit of that. And I think at age 30, just looking up and down the line here, San Francisco's had a rough time the last 3 years. You know, he's played on a bad team. You kind of forget about him a little bit, but I think it's a perfect fit. I really do.
Well, I wouldn't say no to him. I'll tell you that. I don't, you know, he's going to be a guy that probably should have made more money in his career, but the things that have happened to him and the fact that he wanted to stay there and some things like that, I think are going to cost him dollars. And yeah, not that he's going to be hurting for money, but he's an interesting, right. He's an interesting cat for sure. But the other part of the equation is, how many more times are we going to go down the Moustakas road?
It seems like, well, it's definitely been the last 2 years. I was comparing, and I won't jump over to this, but it was a poll question I sent out last night for us. So definitely seems like to be a little bit of a consensus among Cardinal fans, but there are options I think I've heard a lot of other people favor over Mike Moustakas. But you're right. Yeah, we've talked about it the last 2 years.
Well, here's the issue as far as what we all want, which I'm curious to get the results from your poll, but let's be frank and say that my guess is going to be Cardinal fans were probably much more on board with Josh Donaldson. Listen, I'm sure everybody's on board with Anthony Rendon, but let's just stop. Okay, right. Let's just stop. All right, so let's move on from Ron Rendon. Let's take him out of the equation. I'm sure, like me, because I'm going to tell you, I voted for Josh Donaldson. But the reality of it is, if you go by my theory of too deep, mm-hmm. Josh Donaldson is going to probably cost you an extra year or two and more money than Moustakas, who has, for whatever reason, has been living with what he gets basically each year. Right. You know, you're going to have to replace the home runs of Ozuna. That would probably do it. Plays a pretty good third base. And you move Edmund into the outfield, and we move Carp to the bench. So if you use the two-man rule, now you have him at third instead of Carp. So you take what he's going to make and what Carp makes, and you ask yourself, is that worth it? Because we all, like, Carp's contract is what it is. What's Moustakas going to get? Again, $10 million? $11 million. I mean, that's there's the poor man's out right there is Moustakas. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah. And I definitely think that's very feasible that's the route that they end up taking. I think you laid this out last week or the week before about, are they really going to put $40 million into third base? Right. And that would be the blend of Matt Carpenter. You thought you were paying him to play third base, but now you end up paying a guy like, say, Josh Donaldson to play third base. You're going to be investing $40 million. One of those guys is going to be on the bench, and it's going to be Matt Carpenter. Moustakas does probably cost you less annually. He's a little younger than Donaldson. I think Donaldson is 33, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that Moustakas is 31. I might have that wrong. I might be off by a year. But, you know, he's a little bit younger.
You're close either way.
Close enough. I mean, their OPS, you know, Josh Donaldson obviously has a, if you look at all these offensive numbers, they're a tick better, right? They're better. Some of them are a lot better actually. But, if you look at, Donaldson's OPS, he's at 900 for this last year. He had a great year with the Braves. I think Moustakas was under 800. So you're getting a bit more out of Donaldson now. Is that worth another $7 million a year or $5 million a year? I don't know. I just think that, I'll get to the poll here in a second. I still favor the Donaldson route, but I get where you're going with that, Jim. In terms of money and years, and you know what's maybe a little bit less risky investment. Maybe Moustakas is he's not one to get injury prone, and Josh Donaldson had some calf issues and other issues dating back to his time in Toronto. So not an easy thing to answer, but Donaldson would be the route I would love to see him again. He has a lot of those qualities I'm talking about with Madison Bumgarner, just that competitiveness, that leadership. I kind of see it in some of these players. There's no advanced statistics that tell me anything about it, but we know what we see sometimes.
Well, you know, the whole thing comes down to, as I started out the show with, I mean, do you gamble on some of these older guys and hope they can stay healthy? You know, if you have limited resources and you're going to spend those limited resources, you know, can you take the chance on Josh Donaldson? Now, you know, he answered a lot of questions last year for me, playing a lot of games for a guy that, you know, you started wondering, was he ever going to play that many games again? And I always wondered if getting him onto a natural surface would help. I don't have anything to prove that that's what it was. I have nothing to prove that. But, you know, you wonder. I don't know. Interesting. But, you know, to touch on the last part that kind of plays into the whole thing, do you kind of buy into this? DeJong needs to hit 250 to play every day?
I'm looking at a player in isolation. Right now I say I could argue against it or for it. It really depends on what the rest of – he's playing at a premium position, right? And he's more than adequate, more than held his own at shortstop. So on one hand, you can look at it and go, I'll take what I can get out of him offensively. He's playing a premium position. Now he's not flashy. He's not going to show up on highlight reels a lot, but I'll take what I can get offensively. But when you look at the rest of the lineup and his potential, he's got some pop in his bat. Yeah. You expect a little bit more out of him. I think I said this before, Jim, I'd take a few less home runs and a little bit higher average out of him.
Well, just because of the situational and staying out of the extended slumps. I mean, I think what everybody needs to understand here is the guy had an awful year, and he hit the snot out of the ball, like whatever month it was. I mean, can you imagine if he wasn't way above average that month? It would have been abysmal other than the home runs, and we'd have been looking at a Chris Davis type thing. That's the truth. Now, I'll say this. And I'll challenge you with this. And I think you were kind of getting to this, like you were dancing around it. But the reality of it is, who the hell's going to play there?
Yeah, I mean, there's no answer. And I think I heard this on Gould's podcast. Maybe I read it. But it was a conversation between him and I think Rick Hummel. And they were surprised that Tommy Edman didn't show up at shortstop more last year. Give DeJong a breather. DeJong played more games in the minors, not at shortstop, than he did at shortstop. Well, Tommy Edman, a little bit the other way around, he's played over, I want to say, like several hundred games at shortstop, if not more. But he never showed up there late in the season to give DeJong a rest. And I think the theory is there that, you're right. First of all, there is no backup. Right. There's technically not a backup, not one that we've seen.
Well, Jaro or Tommy Edman is your guys, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Well, that's another question. Like, why, we didn't see Munoz very much. And when Munoz did play, I mean, he can handle a fastball pretty well. And
sure.
He can spot start there when he needs to, all around the infield almost. So it's really curious. And I guess at the end of the day, Mike Schilt felt that their best chance to win was with. He was their best option day over day. But I would expect to see Tommy Edman at short a little bit more in spring training this year. I think that might be one.
I would agree with you. I think some of it was bringing him up at the end. Do you lay that on him? I'll end, Scott, great take or great post because it made us all think. I mean, there was nothing earth shattering in it from you. I'd love to know Scott's opinion on it, but at Tex Cards Fan One, Texas Card Fans One does a good job. I love his stuff, but, in the end, I think for me, if you really look at it, it's like this. I'm not Mike Schilt. I haven't asked him. I don't even know if he'd tell you the truth. This screams to me that his thought was, if we don't get Paul DeJong going, it's not going to matter. Like, we're going to eventually, what's going to happen is exactly what happened because they didn't get him going. And he wasn't going to get going not playing. Now, some people could say, well, I think he was wrong. I think if you would have sat him, maybe he would have got going. I don't know. I mean, we don't know now, right? So who knows? So that's my first take. Before we get to yours, I'm going to remind everybody to check out twobirdsonabat.com where you can subscribe to the show. Once you subscribe to Two Birds on a Bat, you'll get a notification for all these podcasts we're doing, Ruffled Feathers, Bow Ties and Bullshit, and, of course, Two Birds on a Bat with Benji Molina. Make sure you subscribe to the show there. Find us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show. We'd love it if you'd follow us there. And, of course, on our Facebook page, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page, follow our page. When you see the pinned post, if you guys would like it, comment on it, and share it, that helps us reach more people. That's the pinned post. That's the show. So thank you so much for those of you that religiously do it. It means a lot to us. Find us on Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free on your mobile device today. All of our partners that make the show go, the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks, Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do the box lunch orders. And, of course, there's no better catering in St. Louis than Adam's Smokehouse. Check out the atmosphere. Mike and his crew do a great job down there. They'll make you feel right at home. You'll kind of feel like you're in Memphis when you're in there. The smell will overtake you, and you'll have to order everything on the left side of the menu. That's what I do when I go down there. That's our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To my friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs, DrKristenJacobs.com, where she reminds you every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Make sure you check out her wonderful Ooh La La Spa and Anti-Aging Wellness Center. She's helped out so many people with things that that they want to do for themselves. And sometimes you got to take care of number one, folks, and that's what she's all about, making sure that everybody takes care of themselves. And, of course, she likes to remind you, as she always does, that every day should be Skin Cancer Awareness Day. That's DrKristenJacobs.com. To the Gators Baseball Academy, located in Missouri and now also in Illinois. It's the off season. It's time to get better, boys. Check out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com and their four-pillar system. It is second to none, and you guys are going to love it. I'm telling you, great trainers, great instruction. And again, it's time to keep working, guys, if you have dreams and aspirations to play this game. Don't get outworked. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, my friend, hit me with yours.
All right, so I'm just going to go back to the poll one because it was addressing
okay.
Fans. general feel about what do you do at third base next year? That was generally the question.
Okay.
39% of fans, we've had a couple of votes since we've been recording, 39, call it 40% of fans favor Josh Donaldson as an option, Mike Moustakas, about 18%, Tommy Edman, 35%, and other, you can guess who the others were. I left it open. I didn't put Rendon as on here, but you can, the write-ins, most of them were Anthony Rendon. Over 600 people voted on this, so that's a probably pretty good sample size of how the Cardinal fan base feels about what should happen at third base next year. So,
let me ask you a question.
Right.
Do you look at Rendon do you look at the possibility of a Rendon on this team being any different than the possibility of what was a Bryce Harper or a Manny Machado?
I don't look at it as any more likely than either of those scenarios. I don't know that. I think the Cardinals typically don't win in this game, right? Where if there's a big name free agent and hit the market, sometimes you barely hear their name involved in it. I mean, I'm going to throw the Stanton as a kind of an exception, throw it out. They typically don't. That's not what they do. And so I don't expect to hear them or read about the Cardinals being involved or looking at him or having conversations. I mean, they might, but I don't think we'll hear about it. I don't see it as any higher possibility than the others.
So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. If I told you could sign one of the three, Anthony Rendon, Manny Machado, or Bryce Harper, which one would you sign?
Right now?
Well, I see. Hindsight's great because I promise you, we all wanted Giancarlo Stanton. Would you like to have him now?
Yeah, well, no. No, I wouldn't.
You know, actually. We're the experts, right? They're crazy.
Right.
We're
right,
the experts, right? I mean, you know, now listen, I also understand there's a lot of luck involved in this, as I mentioned at the top of the show.
Yeah, it is. You got to get lucky. I mean, you know, Jim, we could probably spend a whole show going through contracts that didn't quite pan out, and we could probably take up no more than 5 minutes on the contracts that do. And we could make a whole show out of it if we really wanted to. But you're right. I mean, some of it is luck. It's health. It's, you know, you change the environment around a player. You change the players that's batting in front of him, behind him. I mean, I don't know very many players that perform to the exact same level the minute they swap uniforms. I mean, I can think of so few that you feel like it doesn't matter where they play. It's going to be the same result. It's always a little bit different.
Is some of this, do you feel like, and again, I'm going to throw a little, do you feel like when Walt Jocketty was here, just about everything he did worked out?
A lot of what he did worked out.
You know what I mean? Like, except for the one year, I can't remember what year it was. Wasn't there a year when McGuire was hurt a lot of the year and he hit awful? Can't remember when that was, but you know, traded for Edmonds, signed him, worked out great. Traded for Roland, signed him, worked out great. You know, obviously, I believe the Pujols era started when Walt Jocketty was here. Obviously, he had a pitching coach that was able to take trash and turn it into a, you know, it was a different league then. I know, but you know, you can go on and on and on. There just aren't too many things that he did that appeared to not work out. I'm trying to think of some of the ones that he did that didn't work out.
Well, there were some. I mean, this is a fantastic topic. I love comparing the eras here. And this was, you know, one thing I appreciate about what Jocketty had done, and I'll point to a couple of years as an example. They missed the playoffs from, 97 through 99. And going into 2000, there was an overhaul done on the team, where, you know, they traded for Daryl Kyle and signed Dave Veers, traded for Fernando Vina. And then, there were more players. I think Andy Bennis returned. But they went out and he overhauled the team because they had missed. And again, it was another not insignificant tweak from 2003 to 2004 when they had to watch the Cubs win the division. You know, in that year, that offseason, you know, J.D. Drew was shipped out. And then guess what that netted us? Adam Wainwright, Ray King. I think Eli Marrero was part of that deal, too.
He was.
Jason Marquis came back. So, Jocketty, I just felt like he would do what was necessary. And he would pull the trigger on that kind of thing, maybe a little faster than Mozeliak has. I've only seen, look at one example where Mozeliak has made a unexpected change, and that was in 2011. I wasn't shocked that they dealt Colby Rasmus, but all the bullpen guys that were dealt along with that, where he reworked the entire bullpen, I've only seen that happen once. He's very, he just seems a way more deliberate in his approach to how he's, what he's doing with the roster than Walt Jocketty was. But I tell you what, you can't deny the excitement that it created when those things would happen.
We always kind of felt like they would address it. I mean, Larry Walker, I mean, we can go on and on, right? Of acquisitions and things, you know, Woody Will. I mean, some of these were things that you kind of looked at and thought, like Woody Williams. I mean, it was like, you know, that guy wound up Jeff Supon, Woody Williams. You know, Darryl Kyle was an interesting pickup for the Cardinals. Darryl Kyle was a good player, and, you know, that's a situation where a guy took money, went somewhere, and then Colorado. It was like, okay, is it Colorado or is it him? Okay, we're going to gamble, right?
And
it worked out. And again, it seemed like the guy was playing with a loaded deck for a while there. But, you know, as you do that and you start looking at, I think your poll kind of, I'm not surprised by the poll of it being Josh Donaldson. I would say St. Louis fans have had an infatuation with Josh Donaldson for a while. Why wouldn't you have an infatuation with a guy that plays good defense, is a former MVP, and, you know, I mean, the guy's a dude, right? And he's fun. That's another thing too, man. He's exciting, right? So I don't know. I'll be honest with you. That poll doesn't surprise me at all. Did it surprise you?
No, not really. I expected it to be Edmund and Donaldson to top it off. And, you know, I did caveat that with, if the years and dollars are reasonable, is that what would you like to see happen next year at third base? And so, no, I'm not surprised at all. How I'd have expected it. So that one didn't carry with it a lot of intrigue when the results finished. But, I'm not surprised.
All right, so let's let the buck stop here then and bring in our Patterson Tire and Service text line. You know, we're very excited about this text line, and you guys out there have really taken to this, and you know, we're happy about it because we want you to utilize it. And you know, the unfortunate part of it is we get tons of texts, and a lot of them are the same thing, right? So as I always say, we can't read them all, but we do want to thank the Patterson family, Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store, located 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. 618-797-6711. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on Two Birds on a Bat, Ruffled Feathers, and Bow Ties and Bullshit. And again, remember, they are a whole lot more than a tire store. They do automotive repair as well as take care of all your tires and brakes needs, oil changes, things like that, general auto repair. And just a great family that does great work, and you can count on them. Honesty is a big thing with them. You know, you pay for something, you're going to get it. That's Patterson Tire and Service. So the question... Or not question, it is kind of a question, and it ties into what we're doing. So, you know, again, no name. I don't know why people do this, but I thought this one really put the onus on you and I. Big fan, love the show for Ruffle Feathers. Do have a quick question. In the end, do the Cardinals sign and trade for a player in the offseason, or do they do one or the other? And if so, which one and why? So let's put the onus on you and I.
Okay.
I'm gonna put it out there. Like, at this juncture, what I think they're going to do, nothing. There you go. Nothing.
Okay.
This is going to be my prediction for this offseason. It's a unofficial rebuild. And one of the things that we're going to cover here in a little bit will back this up for me, and I'll tell you why. But in my opinion, it's an unofficial rebuild, and anything that happens will revolve around that word I used earlier, a lot of luck. So there you go. There's my stance. Nothing. Now, when I say nothing, I mean nothing of any significance. Will they do what, you know, are we going to see a Luke Gregerson? Probably. That type of thing? Probably. If you know, would it? Now listen, let me tell you this. If a Mike Moustakas fell in their lap on a one-year deal for $10 million, they might have to entertain that. Okay. To me, that doesn't put anybody over the top. So that still, in my opinion, qualifies as nothing. Okay? So there you go. How about you?
I'm trying to balance, Jim. Is this what I hope for versus...
No hope. I want to know what you really believe is going to happen.
Sure.
That's what the texter's asking us to do.
So I'm going to agree with you at this point, and My rationale is this.
If you agree with me. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. I want you to be honest.
You know,
go ahead.
I want to disagree, but I'm going with what I believe will really happen here. I think that they will have a conversation with Donaldson. They will show interest. Somebody will come in, offer a year more than the Cardinals are willing to go, or offer a few more dollars than the Cardinals are willing to go. And so I don't believe anything's going to happen for a significant impact free agent signing.
I don't know why he'd leave Atlanta. I mean, that honestly, yeah. why is he going to leave there? It's a launching pad. He had a great year. Isn't he like, I can't remember if he's from there. I can't remember what the deal is, but there was a connection there. Was it a coach or something? Why would he leave?
Well, his former GM in Toronto, Alex Anthopoulos, the medical staff, the training staff. I mean, he knows all those guys. He grew up at a Braves fan. So I think he's from Florida originally. Yeah. Pensacola, Florida.
Hey, yeah. On the board. Yeah. Why would he leave?
No, it's a really good fit for him. Drafted by the Cubs. That's funny. In 2007, but, good move, guys. So anyway, I don't believe anything's going to happen impact from outside. I think what they're going to do is they're going to give Hartmer the opportunity to play his way back in. You're going to have Munoz. You're going to have Edmund, who have options at third base. They might not be who we want, but they have options at third base. The outfield is going to be the interesting one. I do think that they're going to have to give Lane Thomas, Dylan Carlson, Fowler and Bader are going to be in the mix, but it's going to be a competition, and it is going to be a platoon. I don't want to leave Tyler O'Neill's name out of there, but I have a suspicion he won't be in a Cardinals uniform next year. But I'm with you that I don't think anything from the outside.
Ooh, you're foreshadowing. You're foreshadowing into one of my tweets.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'm glad.
That's okay. No, listen. And where I'm going with this is, I'm not saying they're not going to be any good. I'm saying they're going to go with what they got. And they're going to take a year and see what the hell they have in some people, because they got a lot of stuff coming up here, right? Like, let's face it. If Waino comes back, this is probably about it, right? Like Yachty, this is about it. They signed, they're not dumb. They know they know they have a bad contract in Carpenter and Fowler. They know this, right? Yep. They know it. So, they have some unknowns. They have some guys that, they don't have any idea what they have in Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader. Okay. They're going to find out. They would like to believe they have something in Azarena. They would love to believe Lane Thomas is pretty good. They know they have Dylan Carlson sitting down there in the minors, who I believe is the real deal. Yep. They like Tommy Edman. Tommy Edman, I think is going to be one of those guys that's a good player. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be a great player. I don't know that you need him to be a great player. But my point is, if you were going to suck it up and find out what you have while removing another year of a couple of bad contracts and getting you closer to getting out of them as you figure it out, it just sets up to do that, in my opinion. And what's funny about it is, and this is so Cardinal, as a buddy of mine would explain, this could easily work out for him. Could easily work out for him. I mean, whoever they put in left field, they're guys that are talented. Who knows? Tyler O'Neill might hit 30 home runs next year. He's as likely to hit 30 home runs as he is to not play every day. Seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a 50-50. It's not even it's either for him, in my opinion, it's going to be one way or the other. This dude's going to hit 30 home runs and drive in a bunch of runs, or he ain't the answer. I mean, it's one or the other, really. I mean, and people are like, well, that's real earth shattering, Jim, but that's my point. Somebody's going to play in that spot. And a couple of the guys that could play in there are interesting dudes, right? Like a Rosarena.
Right.
That's an interesting cat. Tyler O'Neill's an interesting dude. Like, this could work out for them, or it could go horribly wrong, and then they're another year removed, and they're another year closer to making major changes. That's kind of how I look at it. So,
and that's I think that how you lay that out, Jim, it certainly makes a lot of sense. And this outfield is going to be, I definitely agree with, if that's their direction to see what they've got in these guys. My response to that is about damn time, it's about time that we either, one, you get to see Tyler O'Neill get consistent playing time, or you do something else to him, meaning ship him off somewhere else. I want to see what we got in Lane Thomas. I'm really intrigued by him. Yes, we're all waiting on Dylan Carlson. That's imminent. Don't know if it'll be opening day, but I think at some point in time next year, he does arrive. Can he be your everyday center fielder? And I think that's a good possibility, too. They've got
I think he's going to get a chance. There's no way Harrison Bader's your like guaranteed starter going in next year. There's no way.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't be handed over, Jim. And I'll go back to my three C's. When Mo says he's confident and comfortable, he said he was comfortable with Luke Gregerson in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So mm-hmm. you get a little bit of credibility there. And look, I don't think he's out there trying to deceive anybody. I think he genuinely felt comfortable assigning Gregerson as the closer last year, you know, before spring training ever started. I don't want any of these outfielders to be tabbed the starter before we go into spring training. I think that'd be ridiculous. These guys need to get an opportunity to play, or they need to be traded. But you can't keep this many outfielders sitting there for this long of a time. You got to do something with them. So, I agree.
Well, let me throw the last part in with another mention for our ruffled feathers. Out of our friends over at Cardinals 24/7 group, Steve Hurd, after so many years of hope and hype, is anyone counting on Alex Reyes for anything next season? He seems like less than an afterthought. Again, see, that's my point. He's a prime mm-hmm. example of what I'm talking about. You go into the season with no expectations from him, right? And since you have no expectations, again, you might find lightning a bottle with this guy. So that's my point with these Cardinals. They could go into this thing, do nothing. You know, again, remember what I say by do nothing. Adding small pieces, in my opinion, is still nothing. I'm talking about doing anything drastic, right? Like, they could do this, and it could work out for them because they have these pieces that they don't know what they have. So you might as well take next year and find out. Is that good enough for anybody? I think it's going to have to be. So anyway, the Anthony Reyes thing is a prime example, in my opinion.
Alex, right?
Oh, I say Anthony. Yeah, Alex, I'm sorry.
I think Anthony's a fire.
Yeah, he's fighting fires, right?
Right.
Anthony Reyes won game one in 2006.
Still amazing. Those high strikes don't work.
Oh, they won't work. I'm going to run you out of here, kid. You can't pitch for us. All I see are high rotation strikes up in the zone that these guys can't. It's just I'm not going to go there. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex Reyes, prime example of what I'm talking about how this thing could go a certain direction for these guys and they completely walk into it backwards. It could. It's just as likely.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Right. Well, in terms of Alex Reyes, and you're right, it's easy to forget that name right now. I think my gut reaction to that is, hey, it'd be a pleasant surprise. If he's healthy and he can pitch to his capability, wow, that'd be a bonus you weren't counting on. It'd be awesome, but I'm not counting on it.
All right, you got one for us? I got one more left, but I'll let you go.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to another poll question here. This has been an interesting topic. This one's around Carlos Martinez.
Oh, boy.
The question was...
The lightning rod, but go ahead.
Carlos Martinez in 2020 will be... I'll read the choices. In the starting rotation, in the bullpen, on another team, on the IL. I don't know why I threw that in there, but...
Why wouldn't you? Right?
No, well, he would be right now, right? Majority... select that he's going to get a shot in the starting rotation. 41% of voters. Another 14% say he's going to be in the bullpen. 35%, surprisingly, a little bit. I was surprised with this high. 35% think he's going to be on another team. Your thoughts?
Well, let's go through it. And I'm ashamed. I'm gonna shame myself because I got to tell you the truth. If I would have looked further down the poll, because I clicked starter immediately because I know he wants to start and they're going to need a starter. So it's logical, right?
Right.
If I would have read all the way through the damn poll, I would have probably clicked on the IL because let's face it. I mean, the guy just had shoulder surgery. And how often does somebody have a surgery for this team on something like that and they're fine? Everything's fine. Very rarely, right?
So
I'm a nervous wreck about it. I would be willing, I'm doing a lot of guessing here, but you know, just screams to me he won't be ready for opening day, and they'll ease him along and bring him along as a starter, and we'll just see where we're at. But you know, again, when he comes back, I know he wants to start. And here's the thing: we're going to need starters. Okay,
yep.
I think you know. Ponce de Leon and Gomber in your starting lineup, as I said 2 years ago, and everybody said, well, Ponce de Leon and Gomber, what about... Okay, no. We're going to need starters. But he is a lightning rod figure. The whole other theme thing, for me on that, is there some legitimacy there? Well, I've brought it up numerous times. The last guy I saw Yachty is animated with on the mound was Shelby Miller, and it wasn't long when that was going down, he was gone.
Right.
I have a hard time believing, though, that Yachty would say, yeah, I don't see it with him. Yachty has come out and said that he's got the best stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, he never come out and said that about Shelby Miller. He just didn't really do anything, right? Like, Yachty's come out and said, you know. See, to me, the Carlos Martinez thing is this. It's kind of like the Paul DeJong thing. Like, you really need him to be who you hope he is if you're going to have any chance. And and in today's world, you're not paying him that much money for the possibility of what he can do. So, like, I don't, like, you'd be trading him at his lowest point. I'm not sure you'd get anything close to a return on him. He doesn't cost you that much money. I don't see any reason why you would trade him unless, as an organization, you were 100% frustrated and fed up with him. But yeah, there's been lots of guys like that they haven't traded. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's where my head was, too, on here. On another team, I think that's some of the fans' wish.
I understand why you put it in there. It's very legitimate.
Yeah, well, I expected it to get a fair amount of it. I mean, I'm surprised it was that many. But, you know, I look at this, and I think his time here is done when if it's done relatively soon, it'll be, I think, the front office is just fed up. I agree with that. I can't imagine something like that coming from Yadier or Molina. It's just that, you know, when Carlos is on, he's one of the best in the game. But we've all seen how, I mean, just a period. I'm a fan. I don't know shit, Jim. I just know what I'm watching. And it's just, there's certain guys like, you remember Carlos Zambrano. If he got into his head, he would implode. He would just self-destruct. And
That's a great example.
Well, I mean, I don't know that Carlos Martinez ever beat the hell out of a Gatorade machine.
But Carlos Zambrano was he was a dude, man. And it never really happened for him the way it should have. That's a great example. Well done.
But thank you. Well, my point was, you know, you can see how Carlos can be easily distracted in big moments. You know, Ronald Acuna is living rent free in his head during the division series. And if he could just focus, but I think patience with him may run out. I do agree right now, you're not going to get much for him. He's injured right now. He just had a cleanup surgery. Now's not the time to deal him. If dealing him is even on the table, I think he has to be given the opportunity to work his way back in and reestablish his value before you entertain doing that. And I think that, my opinion on this poll, I agree with the majority. And that is, you know, look, I think ultimately it may not be opening day. I think he will be back in the starting rotation. Somebody else commented on Facebook, and I don't have time to pull it up right now because I know we're getting close to an hour. But they said, hey, look, isn't it better off giving him an opportunity in the starting rotation? Because, one, you know, if he's a little bit wild, he has time to correct himself. Give him a few more innings, maybe take some of that pressure off that he can – before that opportunity to find himself. Whereas in the bullpen, a closer situation, if he's off, there's no time to figure it out. You know, he's going to be walk two or three guys and get himself into trouble quickly. So it's an interesting take on it, but I do think that ultimately the Cardinals would want him in that starting rotation. I think with Michael Wacha being gone and we don't know what's going on with Wainwright, we know how pitching goes, Jim. You really can never have too much of it. I'd like to see him get a shot there. And just you hope he's learned something from this year and gets himself better prepared as we get to February.
Let me tell you two things. You just said a name that I'm going to give you my bold prediction for next year. Number one, yes, I agree with you. I think you have to take your chances on Carlos coming back and being something similar to Carlos, right? I think we have to do that. You mark my word, Michael Wacha will be a Cardinal next year.
Really?
Oh yeah, you mark my word.
That'll be
familiarity with the organization. There's nothing really out there for him. If I'm not gonna get a great contract, I might as well stay where I'm familiar and with an organization that's gonna give me a chance. And you know, and it'll be a gamble. It'll be a risk reward thing for them because there won't be a lot of money. But you mark my word. They're gonna look around at the price for starters. They're going to look around at a price for starters. They're going to realize that they can't count on Carlos Martinez. They don't know what they have in Alex Reyes. You might as well go ahead and bring Waka back at what he will cost, which will be a pillow deal to see if he can establish himself this year. You mark my words, Michael Waka will be back as a Cardinal.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. See, there's my bullet. And again, no disrespect. That's nothing. So there you go.
You were consistent there. I'm going to mark down in my Cromer log of predictions and see what happens here.
The description of nothing.
I want to read one. Chris Lawless, our friend from
Cromer. Well, we're going to read. I bet we're going to read the same tweet because you brought up the Canadian earlier, aren't you?
Yeah.
We are.
Is it
the same one?
It may be. Go ahead and read.
I love it. I think it's a great idea. You know,
talking about Ken.
Would Ken Giles be of interest? The Cardinals have a power hitting Canadian. They could send Toronto's way via trade. I love it. What's up, Chris? Appreciate you, man, and all your support. Chris does a great job, runs Cardinals 24/7, big supporter of our show, and we do want to thank him and encourage everybody to check out his Cardinals 24/7 on Facebook. I would do this in a heartbeat. I would. Would you?
Yeah, I would. I'm just looking at his numbers here. I wasn't overly familiar with it. Now he's in past years, who he had about. He's always looks like he's always been a relief pitcher here, and he had a help last year.
He was a dude. He was a dude in Houston, and then had the shit go wrong, and he kind of lost his mind a little bit, and then was involved in the trade for, you know, he was a change of scenery guy. You know, and he's like all relievers. I mean, he deals with a little bit here and there, but he's nasty. And I like him, and I 100% would be on board with that move. 100% would be on board with that move.
Yeah,
I'm not even quite sure you'd have to give Tyler O'Neill to get him, but I would do that. They would probably want. I don't know. That might be the kind of move that works. That's an interesting man because they are young there. They got some young talent there, and you talk about adding a guy that could plug into the outfield that in that stadium could hit 30 home runs. I don't know, man. Randall Grichuk's worked out okay for them. We said on the show that even though we weren't big fans, that was a perfect park for him. So, you know.
Yeah, right. It's just the context of where you're playing and what kind of clubhouse you have and who's hitting behind you, who's hitting in front of you. Sometimes, a lot of times that can make a difference. As far as this guy's a pitcher, he's had a good year, but you know, any kind of bullpen help that you can flip for one of these extra outfielders. I don't mean to disparage them by calling them extra outfielders. You know what I mean? Like, we have like six possibilities, right? So you can't keep them all. All of them can't play. You got to do something with them. And I think flipping for a guy like this would be a relatively good move. Think about who we got in the bullpen to close next year. If Martinez, which we kind of voted on, I mean, we'd like to see him get another crack at the starting rotation. Well, who's in your bullpen then? You got Giovanni Gallegos. He's on his second year as a big leaguer. And are you going to like give it, hand him the keys to the closer's role? Like, maybe, but who do you have as a setup guy now? Who are your other strengths in that bullpen? And so I think bringing in some fortification like this is always a good idea, especially when you have a surplus somewhere else.
Well, I'd be curious to see what his market is. He's in the last year of his contract. He makes good money. He makes $8.4 million. So, that's, a couple of years ago. I mean, there was a lot of, hell, Andrew Miller makes $10 million, doesn't he?
10 or 11.
Yeah. So I would say a guy like this for 8.4 for 1 year, and you see, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I think that's the kind of name you'll see associated. Listen, you're going to see his name associated with multiple teams because the fact that he's on a 1 year, they are young. Right. I don't think anybody expects them to compete next year. They're going to have to figure out who's going to start for them and on the mound and stuff like that. So they'll be looking at what they can bring back. With his history, I don't know that they're going to get top end talent back, but they could get a player. I think when you have a surplus of outfielders, which we saw Mercado get traded last year because of that very reason. Now, I wasn't all that on board with that trade, but the Cardinals viewed him as the lesser of the guys that they have, which I think they have an overinflated opinion of a couple guys, but that's my opinion. There's no doubt in my mind that this is the exact kind of trade the Cardinals could make. Now, this isn't a free agent. Now, this would be not nothing to me if they were to do something like this. I don't know that I got to be honest and say I don't know that they have the cojones to pull this one off, but it's something I do.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, again, I look at you got to clear the logjam in the outfield at the high levels of the minors and the big leagues. Some of these guys need opportunities. You can't keep six outfielders on your roster. So you got to do something with them. This is an area that I think now, while their bullpen worked for them this year, I think they're going to need to replace a name or two out there. Jordan Hicks, possibly Carlos Martinez. Those are two big arms that you won't have walking into the year if it plays out like we think it's going to. So I think they're going to need the help.
You know what? I know we're getting ready to go, but I because of the name, a guy that I really like, a guy that I think would be a good fit for us, Ryan Hetzer, who does writing for us on our Two Birds bloggers and does a great job on Twitter, just sent us. Did you see that?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
I love it. Why do we have to view Bader through the lens as a starter? I would love Bader as a fourth outfielder. He could do multiple things for you. He could pinch run in games. He could be a defensive replacement. You know, he does hit left-handed pitching better, so he could be your right-handed bat off the bench, things like that. His interesting part of here is, if Sterling Marte is bought out, are you interested? Now, I haven't heard anything about him being bought out. I think it's more of a trade situation that I think he's available. And I got to tell you, that is he is the exact kind of player we need that would fit into some of the changes that we made that I think made us successful. And just follow me on this here. Okay. He can run when healthy. I mean, this guy steals bases. He's got good power, not great power. Okay. He hits for a good average. He's got a good on-base percentage. This guy is a good player. Like, you wouldn't get him cheap by any stretch of the imagination, but this is the kind of guy that you fit in, okay, with, like, there's no doubt that Tommy Edman added something to this lineup. You pair that up to the fact that Colton Wong seems to have emerged, and then you add in his athleticism both on the bases and in the field, and you start adding in another guy like that to the mix, now you have something. I don't know. I've always liked him. Your thoughts?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, Jim, you know what I'd really love to see on this team? And that is a player that can just hit. I don't care if he hits left-handed, right-handed. I just want to see a hitter. When I see somebody these days with a .295 batting average, I'm like, wow, the guy hits. He puts the ball in play. And he hits for some power, too. Absolutely. Would I love to see him patrolling the outfield in St. Louis? Damn right I would. What would it cost? Be the first question. You have a surplus in the outfield now. So you're kind of dealing from a prospect area where you feel like you have a strength, but you're bringing in, I think, a more certain unknown. I know we talked about at the beginning of the show, nothing's certain, but I think he's got a track record at least now. And I know you had some history there, I think, with PEDs, but he had a strong year last year. And I love to see him in the outfield. I'd love to see Mookie Betts. You know, you kind of threw that name out there at the beginning of the show, but that's going to cost you a lot. And you're probably not going to be able to keep him, but Sterling Marte, yeah, sure.
Well, let me tell you, in my opinion, okay, to me, and again, this is just me, this is the exact kind of guy that Cardinals typically will target to some degree. And the reason that I bring him up is, now, you kind of wonder sometimes, you know, the trading in the division and things like that, but there's things about him. Like, here, I'll just tell you, like, I'm going to say the same thing I always say in these situations. Why in the world would Pittsburgh trade the guy? They don't like to spend a bunch of money. Well, this guy doesn't make any money. He's not going to be exactly like Tommy Pham, but he's going to kind of be like Tommy Pham in the instance where he's not going to be a free agent until he's 33. He is signed this year and next year. Okay. And he makes $11.5 million and $12.5 million. So number one, why would you trade him? Unless you got back some really good stuff. Now, I know the guys had some injuries and we had the PED thing and all that, but God, he's an awful good player. If you put that guy in center field for me, man, he answers a lot of questions for you on this team, in my opinion. Like, answers
totally
a lot of questions.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's not a name that I've seen be thrown around as being available or shop. But, you know, they are going through some changes now in Pittsburgh. They're looking for a new GM. They're also looking for a new manager eventually once they get a new GM or president or whatever, however they lay it out there. But, you know, if there's ever a time when they might decide, one, I don't know what direction they're headed. I don't know what their strategy is. It doesn't feel like they have much of one. But if you catch a team like this kind of – maybe their focus is elsewhere. Maybe the time is now where you can possibly pull off a deal, even within the division, to bring in a player like that. I just hadn't heard of this yet. I hadn't seen it, but yeah, certainly that name would excite me.
Well, I know that MLB did a whole thing on him, and because let's face it. Okay. So as I just mentioned, the reason that he would appeal to the Cardinals is the reason he would appeal to everybody, right? Number one,
right.
He signed for 2 years. It's not a 1 year rental. He signed for 2 years where you can try to figure it out. You know, he's older. So even after that, I think the qualifying offer, this guy'd be crazy not to take a qualifying offer probably after that, unless he had another two great years. And even at that age, what would he do? Right. So, you know, I think what's at issue here is the reason that he's one of these what so-called attractive trade targets is because the Pirates, you know, everybody assumes are not going to contend within 2 years. It's going to take them a couple of years to figure this out. So the fact that he makes no money really by today's standards, he's never going to be more appealing than he is right now to get back a major return. So the thing about this is now, while I appreciate and I think, you know, I think everybody understands where I'm going here. While I appreciate Ryan's tweet very much, I don't think it's going to be a situation where he's bought out by any stretch of the imaginations. I don't know where he would have got that from. I'd love to know where Ryan got that from. But number two, more importantly, if you went to where I could understand it, it's not even a situation where I think you're going to get him for not much. I mean, I think he would cost you. Now, would Starling Marte cost you like a guy like Azarena or maybe a Tyler O'Neill and a Pitt? Like, would you do that? I would.
Yeah, for the right.
I really would.
For the right price, I think a lot of us would do it. Here's the interesting thing to think about, Jim, now that his name's kind of floating around in my head, and that is, there's another team within the division, and they have a trade history together that probably could use a center fielder, an everyday center fielder. And I would, if I'm looking at this and that guy's available at all, if I'm Theo Epstein, I'm on the phone with him right now.
Well, in this article, it says that, you know, now for me, you know, for them, the whole reason to want to go after him is because, you know, Almora just didn't do for them what they thought was going to happen. And they need to make. And this guy screams of a great fit for them because, as I always use my two-man rule, when you're already overpaying for Jason Hayward, who you were kind of hoping was going to be that guy, when you get this guy and that's all he makes, it makes it a little more swallowable, right?
Sure, yeah.
So I'm going to come back and tell you that I promise you the Chicago Cubs do not have what we have to trade. So there is no way the Cubs should get that guy, and we shouldn't, unless you're overly committed to guys and you're like, no, I'm not going to trade for Starling Marte. I've got Harrison Bader and I've got Azarena and I've got Tyler O'Neill and I got Dylan Carlson coming. Well, let me tell you something. You could do yourself a whole lot less service than to have Starling Marte patrolling center field for you for a couple of years while Dylan Carlson gets his feet wet and while we figure out what in the hell we have in Harrison Bader and Azarena and Lane Thomas. I mean, this guy is a solidifying type player. And I got to tell you that this interests me a lot that he's available and doesn't surprise me at all that the Cardinals aren't linked to him at all, but that's okay. Well, but everybody and their brother is besides the Cardinals.
Well, to Ryan's tweet here, the first part of this, I absolutely agree with. I'm not there with Harrison Bader as a starter. I haven't been, to be honest. I just haven't seen enough consistency from him. And I think in the playoffs, he was used perfectly. You already said it, Jim, that he's a great guy to have as a late defensive replacement. And he's also a great guy to come in and pinch run. And sure, he can platoon around and spot start every once in a while. But he's a fourth, fifth outfielder, in my opinion, until we see more consistency and a change of approach with him. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah, he needs an overhaul, and we'll see if he's man enough to do it in the offseason. Well, listen, man, great conversation today. I love how the conversation kind of feeds off of itself and takes in different directions, and we're getting tweets and texts and stuff while the show's going on. And that's all luck because you guys don't know when we're recording, but we love it, and I love addressing it, and it's all good stuff and means a lot to me. And, once again, our text there, I wish that gentleman would have had his name because I love it because he basically put us on the spot to say, okay, quit talking about what everybody else is saying, and you guys put your money where your mouth is. What do you think they're going to do? And that was our Patterson Tire and Service text line located at 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois, 618-797-6711, a whole lot more than a tire store. That's our good friends at Patterson Tire. Do want to encourage you guys to give them a call, get a quote, whether it be tires, brakes. I just had my brakes done down there on my car and my son's car. You know, very reasonable quality job. Well done, as expected, as I've been going to those guys forever. So, thank you very much to the Patterson family and Patterson Tire and Service for their contribution to the show. To my friend, Ron, let me tell you, I'm enjoying doing this with you every week. I feel like I'm sitting at a bar eating peanuts, drinking a beer, talking Cardinal baseball. What else could there be?
Not much. That sounds good to me. I got to get to that Adam Smokehouse. I have not been there yet.
But, yeah. When are you coming in town? Adam Smokehouse on you. No, I'm just kidding. I'll buy.
All right. I'll take you up on it.
When are you coming in? Cardinal game next year? You coming?
Well, I absolutely will be at a game next year. I make it a point to get back as often as I can. And likely I'll be back in November, December timeframe as well.
Perfect time. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to come in for winter warm-up. We'll probably do our show again with Benji Molina at the winter warm-up. See, that'd be a great time for you to come in. Adam Smokehouse is always on the agenda for that. It'd be perfect.
Yep, that sounds great.
See, I've got you committed. But but great stuff as always, and I enjoy doing the show with you and getting the comments. And to all of our listeners out there, we can't do the show without you and hashtagging Ruffled Feathers and sending tweets at us and participating in the polls that that Ron's putting out each week. I appreciate you guys doing that. We're getting a lot of interest in the polls, and we do thank you so much. Again, the show is for you, and it's dedicated to you as we want to highlight the listeners and their thoughts. Make sure you guys check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. That's how you'll get a notification each time we bring out Ruffled Feathers and Bow Ties and Bullshit as well. Don't forget to find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show, Facebook as well, Two Birds on a Bat, and of course on Instagram at Two Birds on a Bat Show as well. LineupMediaGroup.fm, home of Yo Radio. Thank you for your continued support. To our friends at Patios, thank you for taking care of our studios for us, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. I would love, love, love the opportunity to thank my good friend one more time, Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green is the name that you know and trust. Construction, heating and cooling, and electric team fired up and ready to go. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Missouri and Illinois, it's the offseason. Time to get better. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. DrKristenJacobs.com. The wonderful owner of Ooh La La Spa, Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. Don't forget, every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Ron, I know I mention all the time, but I want to make sure that people know where they can follow you too on Twitter.
Sure. You can follow me at TOR_Ron75.
Great stuff, my friend. Look forward to doing the show with you next week. I appreciate you and everything that you do for us. Please let me know to all of our listeners out there if there's anything that you guys would like us to see to do within the show. As like I said, in the end, this thing is for you, and we would love for you guys to get more involved in it and treat it as your own. For Ron and myself, this is Two Birds on a Bat. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.